How's everyone doing? Healthy, I hope. I know we have faith family members that are fighting COVID and the repercussions of the stuff. If some are having the lingering long haulers or long COVID, and we just need the Lord to just move through our entire midst with his healing hand, Lord. So today we do ask God that you would just touch everyone that is suffering, Lord, from this plague right now. Lord, that you would just allow the healing power of God to just flow through their bodies, to flow through every cell, every blood cell, Lord, every tissue, Lord, every organ, God, everything that is your creation, Lord. And as you have created it, we ask it to be. Lord, we choose to look at you, Lord. We choose to look at your promises to us, that you are the one that heals us. You are the one that delivers us. You're the one that saves us, Lord. We choose to look at you and not the present conditions, Lord, not the reports, Lord, of our own bodies or what we hear, Lord. We choose to believe and trust in you. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that's at work in every one of our lives for your good pleasure. And Lord, we just commit our hearts and our lives to you right now. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us enter into a place, Lord, of true worship right now. Lord, that you'd help us leave the distractions of this week and the things that have caused us to focus on other things than you, Lord. Help us to set our eyes on you, Jesus. Help us to make you our number one this morning and continually do that. We just thank you, Lord, that you're here in our midst, Lord, and you're working right now, and you've been working, and we just enter in to partnership with you in this service now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. fill the room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you feel me calm. Spirit, when you move, make my heart. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you feel me calm. Spirit, when you move, make my heart. When you fill the room.
Yeah, I just want to invite you guys to just put your arms out right now. I just feel very strongly that the Lord, preface. There was, when Jerusalem was under attack at one point, under King Jehoshaphat, there was like three different tribes that were coming after them, and the Lord had told them to not worry, that this is not a battle they're going to have to fight. And so I just feel like there's like this heaviness, somebody here, and I'm just here to encourage you that this is not your fight. That if there's something that's going on that just keeps kind of running through your brain and you're not able to really engage because it just is one of those pressing things, I want you just to come up and up to the altar and just lay it before the Lord. Worship is such a powerful gift that we have. There's nothing greater. God has used worship to defeat enemies of his people. They never had to pick up a sword. All they had to do was lift their hands and shout a praise of hallelujah. And so if you have something that you're struggling with, I just encourage you right now to just lift your hands like you've never before and take courage. He was on the cross. He overcame so that you can overcome. There's nothing, nothing that you can do to earn it. It's just given to you freely because he loves you. And he wants to. And even if you don't have anything necessarily pressing on you, just because you want to stand outside and do something different and just get out of your comfort, I'm just going to encourage you to do that right now, because we have the gift right now to freely worship, to freely lift our hands, to freely just go after him and say, thank you, God. We're not being oppressed from that right now. There are other people right now who don't have the ability to be able to do this out in the open, but we do. And what a gift it is, because all we have to do is just begin to lift his name and glorify who he is. And those things begin to fall off and shake off. What a weapon he has given us. Just by saying, God, you're so glorious. You are everlasting. You are forever. Always the same. Jesus, as you were yesterday, you are today and will be tomorrow. We just love you, God. And we give these things to you, Jesus. These things that seem so great. I thank you, God, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, because you have a plan and a purpose that is good, not of evil. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy. It's amazing, you guys. Like, the elders in heaven continue to cast their crowns down saying, holy, holy, holy. They never get bored of that statement, because he is oh so holy. So there's nothing in your life that he cannot come against. There's nothing that should be making a louder noise than his love for you in this time. Yeah, Jesus, holy, holy, holy. You're so good. Yes. If you have a native tongue that you speak, a prayer language, I just want you to begin to lift it up right now. Let your spirit begin to just engage with him. And if you don't know what to say, it will. Just let him minister to you. Yeah, just let him minister to you. Yes, Jesus.
Thank you.
to take this time. I just feel like right now, you guys, it's not about what we do. It's not about how you do it. It's just about enjoying Him in it. So I want you guys to just stand up and in a renewed joy and understanding of like, God, you are just so good. And because I love you, I'm going to stand in your presence. I'm going to glorify you. Because this is how I fight my battles. It's just by being happy that I'm yours and that you are mine and that there is nothing that I can do more to receive more from you. Everything that you have to give is already out there. And it does. It takes practice sometimes to get better in those things, but it's not that they're not yours fully. So let's just enjoy Him and sing out with all of who we are, the joy that we get to have today, and just express our thanks and gratitude to Him simply because we can. Showing up today and every day, God, you are magnificent and glorious. Holy, holy, holy. Papa, we just praise you today with everything that we do. We just glorify your name. us here to celebrate you, God, to be the extension of who you are here on earth in a tangible way to those who don't know you yet, God. And I just pray that you would continue to equip us throughout today, Father, that our hearts would be open to the things of you, and that you would just impress on us, God, the courage to be able to speak to those around us, Lord, about you and the good news, Jesus. Yeah, that we would begin to give out the hope that we have in us, God, that it would just overflow from us from this place of abundance, Jesus, because you are so good. Yeah, God, and that there would be a turnaround in the government, and that there'd be a turnaround in our city, Jesus, and that people would begin to love extensively and to have joy-filled hearts, God, and peace-filled minds, Lord. No matter what decisions are made, Jesus, that there would be just, we would be rooted in peace as your children, God, and that we would be able to give that out to those around us. And they'd want to know, what is that difference about you? Jesus, I love spending time with you. And I thank you for spending time with us. Amen, 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 amen. All right, yes, give him a round of applause. Give him a shout of praise, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, worship team. You guys, what an amazing day already. He's so good. And I'm so happy to see you guys. It's so fun to be back and see all your beautiful faces. Yeah. Hi, Vivi. Beautiful dress. I love it. Wow. Did you guys see that? She could spin and it twirls out. Wow. You are such a princess. Yes, you are. I love our children. They're amazing. They are the future. Ugh, beautiful. Well, hi, babe.
Hi.
I don't really know where to go from here. Oh, yeah. Praying for Yakima County. You want to do that?
Sure. All right. Yeah, let's pray for the Yakima County. I got your Bible right here if that's what you're looking for. So we love our city. Amen.
Amen.
And I continue to encourage everybody that as you go throughout your week, and maybe if you work in town or if not, it's fine, in the valley somewhere, that you are just releasing glory wherever you go. We are spiritual beings. That means where we go, Jesus goes with us. And I don't know if you guys realize the amazing power and ability that we have as believers that no other religion has. No other religion allows the person that they worship to go with them wherever they go. And we get Jesus. So my encouragement is that we would go throughout our city and we would just release Jesus wherever we go. We would release Jesus on our campuses. We'd release Jesus in our workplaces. We'd release Jesus in our homes. And just even if you're in a part of town that you don't normally, you don't live or you normally travel, just say glory, glory all over this city. So I'm going to pray. And if you could just agree with me, God, we thank you for our city. God, we thank you for this valley. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, God, and how you're moving. And we just pray a blessing over every square inch of this valley, God, from the lower valley to the upper valley, Lord, to Tyatin, to Natchez, God, and downtown, God. We just pray that your, Lord, love, Lord, your glory, your spirit, God, would just move in our city, God, that we would continue to see revival take place, Lord, in our people. Lord, for those, Lord, who make decisions in our city, God, we pray a blessing over them. Lord, we pray blessing, Lord, over those who have the opportunity and hold the power, Lord, to dictate how our town is ran, God. And we just pray, Lord, heavenly strategy over them, God. And we just thank you so much for that, God. We pray, Lord, over every school, every elementary school, middle school, and high school in our town, God, and in our valley, Lord, that you would bless the students, God. Lord, that you would keep each student safe, God, but you would also bring identity to those students, Jesus, and that they would know who they are and whose they are. And we just thank you so much, God, for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. So we have a couple of things that we go through between the Sundays. We have our youth night that happens on Monday nights, and this is the best part of the week. And so I don't know what you guys do on Mondays, but it's not, I guarantee it's not nearly as fun as what I do on Mondays. And we started meeting at the church, and it's been really fun. And we fill them up with sugar and send them home, and it's a lot of fun. And so we have one kid that comes pretty frequently, and he got sick on sugar on youth camp. So now every Monday I'm like, you're allowed one Italian soda, or you're allowed one, because...
Yeah, he still ate the whole thing of cookies to himself.
Yeah. So Monday nights, if you know a youth student, make sure they get invited to this. We meet here at the church at 6:30 downstairs, and so all youths are invited. What's next?
And make sure that they use that front entrance, right?
Just yeah. So. Oh, it's not showing up on that screen. We have, do you want to do this one?
Sure. Go ahead. Every Tuesday, you have a women's Zoom meeting with Pastor Gigi right over there. Can you wave? Everybody here knows you. I'm just kidding. but yeah, I would, if you're a woman and you have those parts and you love Jesus, I would definitely give it a try. Walk into Zoom. Why are you? I'm sorry. Okay. Without, yeah, 7 to 8. If you want to contact or ask any questions, her number's up there. Give her a call. I promise you will not be disappointed. And then same thing on Wednesday for men, except with Pastor Mike, her husband, who's so loving and fun and always has good things to say. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's it. Next, Pastor. I promise you there's more. Oh, there's not. we're going to talk about worship, and we're running a little late, but that's okay, because we partook in essentially what this message is, in that, yeah, and if you go to the next slide, Pastor Mike, we have one point, and one point only: worship is a lifestyle. That's it. And this is something that I remember hearing years ago before we moved and we were still here, and I adopted it in my life as a core value. And I realized as I was thinking about this message is that I don't actually know how to fully articulate that. And Nancy and I began discussing what that actually means, because when you think worship, it's easy to think, to put worship in the box of what we just did, where there's people singing, and we come in, we sit in church, and we, you know, sing along to some words. But actually, if we limit worship to the 45 minutes we get on a Sunday morning, then we're actually missing out on a vital piece of our relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, music is a big part of worship. It's not the only part of worship, though. And so,
and neither is the church building. It's a good piece, but it's not the only piece. It's learning how to go outside of worship, having to be with lots of people coming together to do this one thing. You as an individual are the church. God was never one to want to be set into a building. He always wanted to be up in tents so he could move with his people, right? And we're those tents, we're those buildings. We get to move and bring him with us so that he can continue to move and do his work. And so if we're just waiting and only doing it on Sundays, then we're missing out on so much. And so how do we make worship become how do we switch our mindset to where it's actually a lifestyle, something that we do from day to day, that it's something that we can't do without, you know, being able to just give thanks here and there, and making sure that it's like setting your heart posture to Jesus. You dial into Jesus, and you're constantly aware of who he is, and you're constantly thankful for what he's doing and what he's done, and living that out by loving others and all.
I think about it this way. there's, you know, a good amount of married people in the room. And when I think of worship, I think of that's an intimate time that I have with the Lord. And when I think about my marriage, if I limit our intimacy to only the times that we have in the bedroom, okay? I know there's kids in here, but I think you guys are all aware that your parents had sex to have you.
Wow.
Okay? Just putting that out there. But it's, if I limit the intimacy with my spouse to just those moments in the bedroom, then that becomes a sad marriage. Mm-hmm. I miss out on an opportunity. Like, intimacy is with my wife is more than just those moments. It's us sitting next to each other when we're watching a show. It's when we're, you know, on a car ride and we're having conversation. It's when we're playing when we're playing games with our kids. Like, there's an intimacy still being shared, mm-hmm, between us that is just always constant. Like, right. It's not just limited to these moments that we get, but it's more than that. Mm-hmm. And how that, you know, how that translates to worship and translates to our time with the Lord is that my intimate time with the Lord is not limited to just when I get to go to Sunday service. Mm-hmm. Because as we found out last year, Sunday service isn't guaranteed.
Right?
In church, I'm here to tell you that we better be prepared and know what it looks like to have a lifestyle of worship. Mm-hmm. Because there's no guarantee, you know, now I think Pastor Mike and I and Nance and Gay, we're going to fight tooth and nail. And, you know, if we have to be carried out in handcuffs, then we'll do that. But there's no guarantee that this building will be a church, you know, next year. Okay. And I just say that to say this, that if we don't learn what it looks like to carry worship, a lifestyle of worship in our life, and we only depend on the church, then the church, if it goes away one day, we will not know what we're doing. And we will not know what it looks like to actually carry intimate relationship with the Lord. And I don't want that for any of us. And I'm not saying I have this perfectly down. Don't hear that at all. But I know that when I go out throughout my week, I'm carrying worship in my heart. Like, it's just exuding out of me. Mm-hmm. Right? Did you have a verse you wanted to?
No, I was just thinking, like, for even for those who aren't married, to relate to this, it's like you have a best friend or somebody that you can't wait to go and talk to. Like, you're constantly thinking about them, right? And you're like, oh, I can't wait to tell them this or that or let it out. Always being aware of them, whether they're with you or not. And so I think being able to do that is worship, is when you're able to, like, be excited about the things of the Lord and can't wait for the next time to be able to talk to him, or can't wait till the next divine intervention that you get to have with somebody, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just walking out constantly aware that he is with you currently and constantly. Yeah. I just wanted to reiterate that.
Worship, again, going back to intimacy, the way we break it down, intimacy is into me, you see. Mm-hmm. So if we allow intimacy to happen in our life with the Lord, we're actually allowing the Lord to see fully us. That's what worship is. Mm-hmm. To see the good, the bad, and the ugly. To see on the Sunday when I'm lifting my hands, crying out to the Lord, and to see when I'm at home stressed out because the house is dirty and I'm, you know, yelling at everybody to pick up their dishes, right? Like, and the times where I'm reading my Bible, to see those moments, and the time that I'm, you know, upset that the person cut me off on the way to the store, right? Like, intimacy is more than just more than just this pretty word. It's actually like, God, I'm gonna allow you to see into me, to see who I am, to see my deepest, darkest secret, to see, all the praise, all the worship and all that stuff, but also to see when I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. That's true intimacy. And anybody who has had true intimacy with a person knows what I'm talking about. Like, that's what it looks like, you know, and not just with a spouse. Like, you could have intimacy with a friend where it's like they know you. They know what you need. They know when you're down. They know, you know, when by just by talking to you, they know like, oh, something's off with you. What's going on, right? Mm-hmm. That's true intimacy, allowing the Lord to see into you. Mm-hmm. Worship is as well. It's not just a state of doing. It's a state of being. So worship is not just an action word. Yes. There is action in worship. There is us singing. There is us, you know, again, lifting our hands. Sometimes people dance. Sometimes people take a flag and they whip it around, and that's great as well.
Tithing.
Go ahead.
Tithing.
How is that a form of worship?
Because I think it's an act of obedience towards the Lord as far as like that condition of trusting him wholeheartedly. Like that's an intimate thing when you are giving of your finances, especially when you feel like you're strapped and you don't have anything to give, but yet you give anyway because you trust him and you know he's good. That's an intimate thing. And it's not an easy thing. That's like trusting him to take care of you, even if it doesn't look like the way that you want to, but still trusting that he is good all the time. And so for me, I guess tithing would be an act of worship because it's a discipline. It's something that I'm doing because I want to be able, he says I can test him and he says that he will, you know, that he's faithful. And whether it ever comes out the way that I hope it does or not, I still believe that he's good. And it just allows me to keep that humility of understanding that he's sovereign. And so that's why it's an act of worship to me.
I think too that worship can be very, very vulnerable. Very, very vulnerable. It's funny to me because if you ever see pictures of people worshiping, like you're seeing them at their most, like they don't know the picture's being taken. They don't know. They're just in it, right? They're whatever they're doing. They might be on their knees, you know, crying out. They might be just standing there with both hands lifted, or they might, whatever it is. But there's this very vulnerable moment that happens in worship when you are in a place of worship where you just throw all caution to the wind. You're like, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it necessarily feels like. Because the other thing is that worship isn't always about how you feel. Do you guys understand that many things with the Lord aren't dictated by how you feel? Right? Like,
it's not really in the business of comfort.
He's not. Now, I want to be cautious when I say this because the Lord is loving and he is tender. I also think the Lord cares very little about your comfort level. Mm. I think that the Lord is okay to push you outside of your comfort level.
Absolutely.
And so that's why when Nancy comes up here and she says things like, do something different, essentially what she's saying is get out of your comfort level. Because even though, you know, I mean, I sit in the same seat every Sunday, right? And I know a lot of us do the same thing, and that's fine. But there's no assigned seating here, right? There's no, you're not married to your seat. And so when those things are said, it's essentially what's being encouraged is get out of your comfort level because you don't know what the Lord has for you in the discomfort. Mm. And if we can be a people that don't run away from discomfort, but actually run towards being uncomfortable, right? And this is hard for me to say because I despise being uncomfortable. I will do, if I'm uncomfortable, I was sick a few weeks ago, okay? And I had like a fever and cough. Like, I will do anything to not be in that state. Like, I mean, somebody can come to me and be like, hey, you know, I'll get you out of this state. Give me your firstborn. Great. Take Skyly. I'm just kidding. Maybe not Skyly, but you know, I get it. As human beings, it's not in our nature to run towards discomfort. It's not in our nature to get into a place where we're going to feel not safe. Right. But the Lord, when he's calling us to something that is uncomfortable, like many times we see in the Bible, many people, there's probably not any but person that the Lord called that was like, oh yeah, I'm really comfortable with that, Lord. I'm really comfortable towards running towards Goliath. right? I'm really comfortable running to, you know, Ananias in the Bible, the guy who went and talked to Saul, who eventually became Paul, right? He called him to go talk to the guy who was persecuting his people. So it's easy to see those that situation and understand why Ananias was like a little bit like, hey, this isn't actually something that I want to do. This isn't safe. And I'm uncomfortable. Hmm. Right? But the Lord continued to press him. And what happens? We get Paul. And we get, you know, majority of the New Testament. Right? We Amen. Get with a church that we're in today.
Well, because sometimes we think worship, even myself, I feel like maybe it hasn't been fulfilled or it wasn't a thing if I didn't get that emotional feel-good time. But I forget, it's not about me, though. Worship is about the Lord. It's about disciplining yourself and your flesh to be humbled by Him and to just really, it's all about what's that word I'm looking for? There's a word and it's left my mind. Ministering to the Lord. It's all about telling Him who He is and what He's done for us and reminding ourselves also in that process, but just giving Him our heart and recognizing the sovereignty of this being, this person who loves us so much. And so, like in First Chronicles, when David had built the tabernacle and he's trying to get the Ark of the Covenant into that place, he sets the tribe of Levites are the ones that are going to be carrying it. They're the tribe of worshipers. They're the ones that had to sanctify themselves and get in this place and have the music going and the worship going and ministering to the Lord. And even after the covenant or the Ark of the Covenant got into the tabernacle, he had certain people set there to constantly be ministering to the Lord, right? It's a discipline. It's a thing. It's telling him and giving what a sacrifice and what a beautiful thing to be able to constantly tell the Lord how good He is and how amazing He is. And even then it's He still deserves more, right? So it's just, it's a way to, whether or not you get those feel good moments, because sometimes I don't want to worship. Sometimes I want to be miserable. Like when my body was aching through COVID, I wanted to just be miserable and cry and let it out. But I had to come to the place where I was like, you know what? God is still good. And He's still sovereign. And who cares what happens in my body? I still have to know that I believe that. And ministering to Him, even though I'm in all this pain and I'm just uncomfortable and all that, I still want to make sure that He knows that I know that I love Him and that He's good and He is worthy and He is forever and ever the same, no matter what. Even though things are changing in me, He is constant. And so that's our ability to be able to, even when finances aren't looking great, even when our marriage is crumbling or it feels like it is, or, you know, there's disconnect between you and your children or you and your best friend or whatever it might look like, that we're still ministering to Him. It's a discipline. It's our right and our mandate to worship Him and to still call out the things that are good in Him no matter what, because the enemy is going to constantly send darts of questions your way. And are you able to say, beat that doubt with the reassurance of your identity in Him? Are you able to catch those things with the by being rooted in who you are in Him, knowing that you are a son, that you are a daughter, that He is a king, and that, yep, this might be happening, but He's still sovereign and He is still good and He still is on the throne and He's still in control. And yep, it might be a little uncomfortable and I don't like what's going on around me, but I've got to trust that He has something out of this, that there is something bigger, right? And so in these times of worship, when I'm asking you guys to leave your seats and do something uncomfortable, because it's not about you, it's for Him. And how undignified are you willing to be? Like David, his wife looked at him and was embarrassed and disgusted by him, because as he's coming into the city and he is ministering to the Lord and he looks silly doing it, but he's a king. He's supposed to be a dignified, upright guy that's dressed to the nines. His stuff is probably showing because his legs are going up high. He's dancing around and she's like, what are you doing? That is not how we're supposed to be, right? And so us, we think that we're supposed to be buttoned up and perfect and just so when we're out in the world. But actually the Lord is asking for us, how undignified are you going to be for the people to be able to see that you have a hope and a glory that's bigger than what's going on around you, and that you're willing to look a little silly because God is good and He's worth it and we're just ministering to Him. I think it's great. One, I want to be the one that looks a little silly. I want to be the one where people are like, whoa, what is going on with you? Why would you do that? And I can be like, because my God is so good. I have a hope right now. Yeah, I can't make decisions for myself. It seems to this or that or la da da, but guess who can? And guess who's still good, even still? Because he is. And so, yep, things might be going kind of crappy and I might feel a little bit scared, but I don't want to be ruled by that fear. And I definitely don't want to give it any more authority in my life than it deserves. So once I recognize that, I want to be able to flip it on its tail and start worshiping the Lord and still calling out the goodness of who he is, even still. Harry, do you have anything that you want to add to that? Okay, go ahead.
I'd much rather look silly and be free than look perfect and be broken. Mm-hmm. And I think that for some time, the church has preached excellence. Let's go after excellence, but has disguised excellence with perfection. And Jesus isn't looking for you to be perfect. He's just looking for you to be willing. He's looking for you to be willing to worship him when it's hard, to worship him when you don't feel like it. One of the greatest weapons we have as believers is the fact that we get to worship at any time. And not just when it's easy. You guys, I know it's easy to come to hey, let's give the Lord praise when I have a bank full of money, my cars are running perfect, my kids smell good and are doing good. You know, me and my wife are connecting well and I have a good job, right? The true test of do you have a lifestyle of worship is when all the stuff hits the fan, right? And you lose your job. And your car breaks down, and you don't have enough money to pay for this bill or that bill, and then a new bill comes in that you weren't even expecting, right? And then somebody passes away. Like, those are the moments where you find out, oh, is this, do I have a lifestyle of worship? And I think that the church as well learned really quickly who has a lifestyle of worship and doesn't last year when we didn't have this to happen. When people were losing their jobs, when loved ones were passing away, right? And this isn't like no fault to anybody, but I think it's really important for us to take an assessment of our lifestyle and say, do I have what it takes when life throws curveballs at me? Yeah. Because as we all know, life, you know, the perfect life isn't guaranteed. Mm-hmm. We have moments, sure, where things are great, but things are going to happen in life. And, you know, it's just, I've been alive long enough to realize that things happen and it sucks and relationships break down and, you know, material items go away and jobs come and go and whatever, you know. And it's in those moments where we have the privilege and the blessing that we can lean into the Lord. And mm-hmm. I love how my wife says that. She says, put my forehead on his forehead. Mm. Again, intimacy. Think about that's one of the most intimate things you could do with a person, to just put your forehead to their forehead, mm. right? And but to be in those moments where like, this is really hard, Lord, and I don't know what to do, but the best strategy I have right now is just to put my forehead on your forehead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it when my son does that. He's all of 6 months right now, but sometimes when he's just over it, or he's, you know, like just in a moment of intimacy, there's all kinds of reasons he does it, but he'll just run his head and he just rears it into me and he just keeps it there. And it's like, oh, and I want that with the Lord. I want to feel that. I want him to know, like, when it's hard and I'm just over the day, or when I'm in my best part of the day and I just want you to know I'm excited, that I just rear my head into his and that he's able to know, like, I just want to be so close to you that we're one. And that's what that's all about. And in the Bible, in Ephesians 5:15-21, it talks about how walking in wisdom looks like worship. See that when you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Isn't that beautiful? He calls us to do that. That's wisdom, is to have our hearts and our beings postured in worship at all times. Good times, bad times, ugly times, smell good times, all times.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We're going to wrap up some concerns after 12. Okay. But the Lord also isn't concerned about what your worship looks like. We, when we were down in Reading, we had a, we went to Bethel, but there was like a second campus that we went to, cause that's where we were assigned to go to, cause we were in school. And there was this gentleman that, how do I say this?
He was precious.
He did not care about what he sounded like or what he looked like. And this, you know, Bethel Church is a huge church, but this other campus that we were at was kind of a smaller room. And so his voice carried. Okay. And,
his pitch carried.
It was very distracting. It was sometimes painful. And, you know, we would talk about it and just like, and what I came to though was this. I bet that the Lord is so happy seeing this man worship in such a undignified way.
Yeah.
Where he's not, he thinks he's singing with the tone of the worshipers or what. I don't know. But nonetheless, you know, he's up there and he's like up front the whole worship service.
Right,
okay?
By the speaker.
He's right here up front where everybody can see him, where everybody can hear him. And then, you know, those nice, like peaceful moments during worship where we like come down and just like, this is a holy moment. Not for him. I mean, for him, it would look different. For him, it was like, now is my opportunity to sing even louder. So I say all that to say, you know, like, not necessarily trying to poke fun at him, but I just want to paint a picture for you, because I could see that and be like, man, that guy's really distracting. That guy's really all over the place. But the Lord's happy with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Lord's so happy with his worship. And he wasn't unapologetic. He didn't, you know, I mean, like, he didn't care. He just was worshiping the Lord. And, you know, I wish I could have just an ounce of that, you know,
zeal
of just like, you know. And I've had moments like that where it's like I'm doing weird stuff because I'm worshiping, but not like that. Not every Sunday.
You could set your watch this guy and you knew he was going to be there. And there was something about it that just made me like, I got excited because I was like, oh. And I would purposely stand near. I started getting to that point because it was like, it's not very pleasant to my ears, but what a pleasant it is in my spirit, because he was just so raw and so ready to just let himself go before the Lord. And like you said, unapologetically. And it was, yeah, it could be distracting, but it was beautiful, and I loved it, and I learned to love it, because at first I did, and at first I was like, what is going on here? Should somebody probably tell this guy, like, because this is embarrassing? But then the Lord got a hold of my heart, and he is like, what's embarrassing about that? I find nothing about he is in love with me to the point where he is willing to forsake what anybody else thinks about him. So worry about the plank in your own eye, girlfriend. And I was dang, okay.
You know, it's much like, you know, our kids, when our kids are little and they draw us a picture, right? It's not like we take that picture and think like, huh, okay, well, you know, you didn't color in the lines. Like, that head that you gave me is not you know, that's not proportionate with my body. That isn't right. Like, we don't sit there and say, like, that's not good, right? We take it and we're like, wow, right? Like, this is amazing. And we encourage them. And you know, not my kids. You guys, your pictures have always been amazing. Okay. But that, like, that's the Lord, you know? Like, when we bring him whatever we bring him, our offering, you know, which is what worship ultimately is. We bring him that offering. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's awesome. I love it when it looks like, you know, an elegant, pretty flower blooming. And I also love it when you look like a hot mess, you know, tears down your face, not coming out of your nose. Like, I love that too.
Like, nothing better than when your kid is talking to you and they miss say a word, but they don't know they have. And it's just so, cause you know, like Leo, Leona loves to say, she loves the color yellow, but she calls it Leo. And I don't ever want anybody to correct her. Cause I'm like, doggone it. Don't you dare. Cause she will eventually grow out of that. But it's just, there's something so precious about this. So even us, like, it might look like somebody might be saying the wrong words or doing the wrong thing, but I guarantee you the Lord is just giggling to himself and just having the best of time with his sloppy, wet mess going on right there. But to him, it's beautiful and he wouldn't have it any other way. So I just want to encourage you guys in that, to continue to just challenge yourself to be more and dignified every time that you get into a place of worship with him, whether it be here or in your home, in your car. I mean, we're willing to look silly, you know, turning up Taylor Swift or whoever it might be, like bouncing up and singing out loud, completely out of tune. Why wouldn't we want to do that for the Lord, right? So much more. So I just want to encourage you guys, go out.
We're gonna worship.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to pray and then we're going to get our worship on and go get some grub. How's that sound? Yeah. Okay. So Jesus, oh God, I love you. And I love that you love us in our hot messes. Papa, I thank you that you are not of works, but that you are of just love, and that we would, I just pray, Father, that you would continue to equip us through the week, Lord. Just speak who it is that you know us to be and continue to call our identity out in us, Father, and give us the tools to be able to do that for others, Lord, that we would just cast out judgment, Father, and just begin to see your kids as you see them, Lord. And that we would have a compassion towards them that you have, Lord, that our chests would hurt, our hearts would hurt when we see people hurting, Father, and that we would want to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are so, so good all the time. And we bless you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Still.
shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't keep down, why you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. You won't kick down, lie, you won't tear down, coming after me,
Jesus.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me, yeah. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie, you won't tear down, coming after me.
Just thank you, Father, that you're like Liam Neeson in Taken, and that there's nothing that you wouldn't do to have our love, God. That there's no walls that you wouldn't kick down, no hidden places you wouldn't search, no walls you wouldn't tear down, Father. You're so good. And we just love celebrating you. We love praising you. And I just thank you, Father, for all of who you are. I pray a blessing over everyone as they go out about their day today, God, that you would be with them, that you would send divine appointments their way, God, and that they would have the ability to just express the overflow of who you are in them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I love you guys. And be blessed.